We're glad you're here this morning. And today really is an absolutely really special day for me because we're going to have a baptismal service this afternoon. And it is a joy and an honor for me to be able to baptize those that have expressed their desire to be baptized. So today at 3 o'clock, today at the Plaza Bridge, we're gonna be baptizing in the river, all right? So those of you that have expressed a desire to be baptized, we made today our target date. And so today at 3 o'clock, we're gonna be down by the riverside. Amen. In 2012, I preached a message about water baptism here at Elevation Worship Center, and I titled it Baptism, the Skinny on the Dip, right? So this morning, I'm going to title my sermon, Baptism, the Lowdown on the Go-Down. All right? The go-down on the low-down. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. And I want to just teach a little bit this morning and express to you what God's Word says to us concerning water baptism. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to begin reading in that 18th verse. So Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. And the Bible says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And I'm going to stop right there. Ask that you just bow your heads and let us pray together as we prepare to share the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning that we have been granted the opportunity here today to call upon your name. And we are thankful, Father God, for the testimonies of how you are moving and your healing power in the lives of those that we have heard the testimonies about today. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have praised and as we have sang here in this place this morning. We come now to the reading of your word and to the expounding of your word. And I would pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give me liberty, that you would give me divine unction and divine anointing. I pray that you will inspire my thoughts. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would put your word in my mouth and that you would make me an able minister of the New Testament. Lord, that you would cause me to minister on a level where each one can hear and receive and be blessed through your word and receive instruction. I ask above all things this morning, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ will be glorified and that the church of God will be edified. Those who are sitting here in this congregation and those that will listen to this word by way of the internet, I pray that they will be enlightened and that they will sense the presence of the Holy Spirit as the word goes forth this morning. And Father, for all of these things, we will give you praise and we will give you glory. And we ask them now in the mighty and wonderful name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So this morning, when you begin to approach the subject of water baptism, for some folks, a lot of questions begin to arise. Let me just share some of them with you. Number one, why do we baptize? Is water baptism just an outdated religious tradition? Can we just skip that? Is water baptism an option, or are we commanded to be baptized? What does God's word say? How should we be baptized? There are traditions, and even in other denominations, there are traditions where folks are sprinkled and where folks are dabbled with water and all kinds of wonderful things that people have devised to baptize. But how should we be baptized? What does the Bible tell us? Should we be sprinkled? Should we have water poured on our heads? Should we be immersed? How shall we be baptized? And then we come to who shall be baptized? Who needs to be baptized? Who needs? And then in whose name do we baptize? There are some denominations that believe that if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, you're not even saved. Hello? So in whose name should we baptize? Amen. Should we baptize in Jesus only, or should we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? People have many questions, and there are many different traditions, and there are many different train of thoughts when it comes to water baptism. So this morning, not only do I desire to give you the skinny on the dip, but I desire to give you the lowdown on the go-down. And just let me just challenge you this morning to just set some of maybe you have traditional thoughts or traditional ideas, or maybe you were raised in a particular denomination and they did it a certain way. Amen. None of that moves me. Listen, opinions, traditions, and all of that kind of thing. I am interested in what God's word says. Amen. I am interested in following what the word of God says. So this morning I'm going to be ministering to you about water baptism, and we're going to stick strictly with what God's word says and the example that is set forth in the word of God. So with that in mind, let me just share with you first of all this morning that water baptism is a mile marker, and it is the start of a new life of obedience in Christ. It is a turning point. My wife and I, we were allowed to celebrate our wedding anniversary some years ago. It was our 20th wedding anniversary, and we had the opportunity to go to Hawaii, to the Big Island. And while we were on the Big Island there, we had our little rental car, and we headed north one day, and we were on Highway 1 going up the Kohala Coast and up through Waimea. And we're driving along, and the road sign says Highway 1. And we come to the north edge of the island, and there was a turnaround like a big cul-de-sac or a big roundabout thing, and you could get out, and there were historical markers and things to see, and you could literally look across the bay and see Maui, another island just off in the distance. But when you got to that big turnabout or that big turnaround, there was a sign that said Highway 1 ends. My wife and I, we pulled up right there by the sign where it said Highway 1 ends. And we got out, we saw all of the sites that were there, and we did all the touristy stuff, and we got back in the car, and we turned around and started to head the other direction. We had been traveling north, and now we did a complete turnaround, and we were headed south. And there was a big sign that said, Highway 1 starts here. Amen. When I think of water baptism, it is much the same. Baptism is the end of the road for the old man and the old way of life. And we are coming to a place in our life and coming to a point in our life where we are doing a complete about face. Amen. We are coming to the place where the old man is crucified, and we are doing a complete turnaround, and a new life in Christ Jesus starts here, starts now. Water baptism is essentially a funeral. It is a funeral for the old man. It is a funeral for the old sinful character. It is a funeral for the old unregenerated man. It is an act of faith whereby we testify not only to God, but to the world and those who are around us that we as a person have died to sin, and we are buried and we are raised in Christ to walk in a newness of life. We have become a brand new creation and a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. So first this morning, I just want to talk about three principles concerning water baptism: the why, the who, and the how. Why are we baptized? Why do we believe in water baptism? Is it just tradition? Is it just a tradition of the church, like the Lord's Supper? What does it mean? Why are we baptized? Turn with me first to Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 13. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 13. My first point this morning is that we are baptized because of the example that was set by Jesus Christ. The Bible says there in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 13, "Then cometh Jesus to Galilee, to Jordan, unto John." He was on a mission to be baptized of him, and John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me to be baptized?" And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And the King James says, "And John suffered him," meaning that John gave in to his desire. And Jesus, when he was baptized, straightway he came up straightway out of the water, and the Bible says, "And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Jesus comes to John the baptizer, and he comes to him to the Jordan River, and he says, "I have need to be baptized of you." And John says to Jesus, "Why do you come to me to be baptized? I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you." And this was Jesus' answer to him: "This is the way that it has to be for now. This is the proper way to do everything that God requires." The King James says, "Amen, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill righteousness." He was simply saying that this is the proper way for us to do what God has instructed for us to do, and to fulfill all righteousness. Amen, and to do everything that God requires. So let me just point out to you this morning that it is clear from the Word of God that we are to be baptized, and that we are to follow our Savior's example. Let me just share with you this morning, if my Jesus needed to be baptized, amen, to fulfill the righteousness of God, then I'm going to tell you, I need it too. Hello? Amen. If Jesus came to John needing to be baptized, amen, then I'm going to tell you something this morning. I need it a great deal more than he does. Amen. So does that mean, does it mean that I believe that, amen, you have to be baptized to be saved? Let me just share with you, I do not believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. Hello? Amen. And you say, Pastor Gary, do you have scripture to back that up? Well, let me just remind you of Jesus hanging on the cross. And the Bible said that he was hung between two thieves. There was one on the left and one on the right. One cursed and mocked him, but the other one said to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. This thief was not baptized. He didn't have the opportunity. Can you say amen? Amen? What did Jesus tell him? Well, he didn't say to him, well, listen, you need to crawl down off the cross. I know you're busy right now, but you need to crawl down off of your cross and go find a body of water and go under. No, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Water baptism does not save. Let me just share with you this morning, if you are thinking in your heart that you need to be baptized in order to be saved, baptism does not save you. You can go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner, because the only thing that can save a sinful heart is the blood of Jesus Christ. We are saved not by the water baptism, but we are saved by the blood of the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. The old hymn said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, baptism does not save. It's not like punching your ticket to get on the plane. Amen. You can get your ticket punched, and if your heart hadn't been changed, it will do you no good. Right? It will do you no good. Water baptism does not save. The only thing that saves us is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 1 and 18, God says, come, now let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. What can take an old black heart? Wash it and make it clean and make it new. It's nothing but the blood of the Savior, Jesus Christ. When we trust in him, he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, and never to be remembered against us anymore. Amen. We are not saved by baptism. The thief on the cross had no opportunity to be baptized. Let me share with you another incident in Scripture. You will find it in Acts chapter 10. This is at the house of Cornelius. Peter is on the rooftop and he sees a vision, a blanket being let down, and the Lord saying, go, rise, and eat. And Peter, being a Jew, he sees all these unclean things on this sheet that comes down out of heaven. And he said, Lord, he said, listen, I have been a Jew from my youth and I wouldn't even touch some of this stuff. And Jesus says to him, what I have called clean, don't you dare call unclean. Arise and eat. And about that time, somebody was knocking on the door downstairs. And they asked for Peter. They had been sent from the house of Cornelius. Cornelius had a vision. And the Bible says that an angel appeared unto Cornelius and said, your alms have come before the Lord. Your desire to know more of God has come before the Lord. Amen. If you'll send to Simon the tanner's house and ask for a man named Peter, he will come and he will tell you the perfect way of salvation. So this man knocks on the door, asks where Peter is, and Peter comes down from the upper room or from the upstairs, and he goes to Cornelius's house to minister the gospel to them. And look what happened. You'll find it long about verse 44 in Acts chapter 10. The Bible said that Peter began to preach to them and began to declare the salvation of the Lord unto them. And the Bible said, and while he yet spake, right in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and not a one of them had yet been baptized in water. Here's how they got it. They got saved, they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then they got baptized in water. Amen? So let's keep our priorities straight. Understand that it is not water baptism that saves you. It is your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It is your faith in the Son of the living God. And I believe with all of my heart that, amen, if we have opportunity, those there in Cornelius's house, they may have got it one way. And then the thief on the cross may have received the gracious salvation of Jesus when he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He may not have had opportunity to be baptized, but I believe that if we have the opportunity to be baptized, that we need to take advantage of that opportunity, amen, and follow and be obedient unto the example of our Savior. Can you say amen? Water baptism is an outward testimony, an outward expression, an outward example to the world of an inward transformation. It is a public testimony that Jesus is come into our life. It is a confession before the world that we are a new creature and our faith has been placed in the Lord. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 8. He said, also I say unto you that whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. What does that mean? It means that if you are not publicly willing to testify of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, and you are not willing to publicly acknowledge that he is Lord, he will deny you in front of God the Father as well. So baptism, number one. Baptism is an example set forth by Jesus Christ that I believe that if we have opportunity, we should follow. If we have opportunity, we should follow his example. Baptism does not save. It is the blood that saves. But let me just tell you, if we want to, amen, obey the Lord, then we have opportunity. We must be baptized. Amen. The second thing that I want to point out to you is that we are baptized because of the command of Jesus, at the instruction of the Lord. You will find it in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, where we read our text. Jesus said to them, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. He's commanding them. He's telling them to go forth and teach the message of the gospel and to baptize everyone that believes. The basis for baptism is to be done in the authority, in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus' name. Let me just share with you right here this morning in this text. When I baptize you this afternoon, I will baptize you in the name of the Father. I will baptize you in the name of the Son, and I will baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost. And why would I do that? Because Jesus says right here in this 19th verse to go and baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And for those that determine that we must baptize in Jesus' name, what I believe that they do not understand is that I baptize in Jesus' name, meaning that I baptize in the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ gave me when he sent me to preach his word. I baptize not at my own instruction. I baptize not under my authority, but I baptize in the name of Jesus. And I do it with the formula that Jesus gave me. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus is the one that gave us, not just the preacher, not just the pastor, but Jesus gave us. He gave us the authority to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm giving you my authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. When I baptize you this afternoon, I'm going to baptize you in the authority of Jesus Christ, in the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus instructed us to make disciples and preach salvation. Amen. And they were to be baptized as a public declaration of their salvation because the Lord commissioned us to do so. So number two, we baptize in the authority or at the instruction of Jesus. Number three, we baptize because it is the same message that the apostles preached. Those of you that are learned in Scripture, think to yourself, Acts chapter 2. The Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues like as a fire sat down upon each one of them. And the Bible said that they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And there were Medes and Parthians and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia. You can read it in Acts chapter 2, beginning with that first verse. They were all speaking in a language that they did not know. And it got noised abroad throughout the city of Jerusalem. And people began to hear the marvelous message of salvation in their native tongue by someone who did not know their language. And they said, you know, when the thing first started getting noised abroad and it began, I mean, it spilled out into the streets from the upper room and spilled out into the streets of Jerusalem. Folks just dismissed it. Said, these folks are just drunk. These folks are just inebriated. Peter, the Bible says, you read it in verse 14, lifted up his voice and he said unto them, amen, you men of Judea and you men, amen, of Jerusalem, be it known unto you this day and hearken unto my words. These are not drunk on wine, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. He was saying it's not even 9 o'clock in the morning. These folks are not drunk, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and the young men will have visions. And he said, upon my servants and upon my handmaids will I pour out of my spirit. And Peter said, what you see right here is not the work of a man, not the work of a bottle, but it is the work of the Holy Ghost of God. And he preached to them the first salvation message after Jesus had departed from them and the Holy Spirit had been given. Peter preaches the first salvation message. And the Bible says, if you continue to read in that second chapter, the Bible said that they were convicted in their heart. And they said, what shall we do? And this is what Peter tells them in Acts 2 and 38. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Amen. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or in the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you too shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the gift, the Holy Ghost. Amen. This promise of the Father. Amen. It is unto you, under your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let me just tell you, he's still calling people to repentance, and he still baptizes with the Holy Ghost for those that are hungry to receive. Hallelujah. Amen. So the apostles preached being baptized for the remission of sin in the authority of Jesus. In other words, being baptized because of your decision to follow Christ and that you have received the gift of God and the grace of God and your heart has been changed. Bring forth, he says, bring forth meat or bring forth actions which are proof of your conversion. Amen. Philip preaching in Samaria. You'll find it in Acts chapter 12. The message of the apostles. Philip goes down to Samaria and he preaches, and verse number 12 of that 8th chapter said that they believed. They believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, or in the authority of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Acts chapter 19 tells us about Paul passing through the coast of Ephesus. Paul comes to some disciples of John. And Paul says to them, you'll find it beginning in verse 1 of the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. Paul says to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? I could just hang out for a little bit and teach right there. Number one, it proves that salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are two different experiences. Because Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They were already believers, but they hadn't yet been baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to him, we haven't even heard that there be such a thing. We haven't even heard that there be a Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you why I believe in baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because the very next words that Paul says to them tells me that if they had been baptized the way Jesus instructed them to be baptized, they would have heard about the Holy Ghost. Paul says to them, have you received since you believed? They said, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Ghost. And then Paul said, well then, how were you baptized? Because if you'd have been baptized the way Jesus instructed us to be baptized, you would have been baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. So Paul said, if you haven't heard of the Holy Ghost, you must not have been baptized the right way. Well, unto whose baptism, Paul says, unto whose baptism were you baptized? They said, John, the forerunner of Christ. John the Baptist. Amen. John the Baptist. And Paul said, well, listen, let me just tell you a little story. He said, John preached and said, I must decrease that he must increase. And there is coming someone after me who I am not worthy to unlace his shoes. And when he comes, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the Bible said that these disciples of John believed in their heart. Amen. And Paul laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues, and then they got baptized. Amen. We preach water baptism because it was an example that Jesus set. We preach water baptism because it is the message, amen, of the apostles. We preach baptism because of the example of the Lord. We preach baptism because of the commandment of the Lord. And we preach water baptism because it was the message put forth by the apostles of Jesus Christ. Number four, we baptize because it portrays what happens on the inside at the moment of salvation. It is a perfect picture of what happens when we believe and are saved. Amen. The gospel is about Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. The gospel is about the good news that he died for us, that he was buried, and that he conquered death and rose from the grave to set us free. Water baptism by immersion signifies the believer's death, burial, and resurrection in the Lord. It is the most accurate picture of what happens on the inside. We are saying to ourselves and saying as a testimony to the world, and we are saying to God, the old man is dead and buried. And when we are raised up out of the water, we are raised up to walk in a new transformed life. Amen. We are being resurrected to live in a new way. We are portraying to the world that we are not the same person as we was when we went down. In other words, we are saying to the world that we have been buried with the Lord and in him we rest, and we've been raised by the power of God to live a brand new life. Look at Romans chapter 6. Look at Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 3. Paul the apostle is writing to the church in Rome. This is what he says. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death. Therefore, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Listen to verse 5. For we have been planted together. When I take you down under the water today, I am planting you in the grave.
Hey, Brother Gary, that sounds kind of frightening. Don't worry, I won't hold you down too long. I really won't put you there. What I'm doing is I am planting you with Christ. And when I raise you back up out of the water, amen, we are raising you up to walk in a new life, transformed not by the authority of Pastor Gary, but by the authority of Jesus Christ and by the power of a living God. Paul puts it this way, we are baptized into Christ. We are in Christ. Amen. Listen, get a picture of this and it'll change your life. Christ is not on the outside
and we're just near him. No, we are immersed in him. We are engulfed in him. We are in Christ. The next time you face a battle, remember, amen, the devil's got to get through him before he gets to you. That's why the scripture said, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. That's why the scripture said that no weapon that's formed against you will be able to prosper. That's why the Bible said, amen, that we're on the winning team. We are in Christ. When we are baptized into, we become part of him. We are in him. We are in Christ. We are in relationship with him. We have come into an intimate and real relationship with him. Amen. And we are not just a little bit altered, but we are radically changed. We are radically changed. How radically? Amen. Let me just tell you, when you get saved, it's not a minor modification. It's a major overhaul. Hello? Amen. You don't evolve into a Christian. Yes, you grow in the Lord, and yes, you mature in the Lord, and your actions should reflect your maturity and your walk with God, but you don't evolve into a Christian. Amen. We don't really have anything to do with the act of salvation except believing and confessing with our mouth. And when we get through believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth, he does the rest. And he does it complete. Can you say amen? Amen? He does it complete. We don't have to add anything to it. The moment that we believe and receive in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we are saved. And the Spirit of the living God moves within us and changes us from the inside out. Amen. We don't change ourselves. We are changed by grace. We are changed by the mercy of God. And two things happen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says, so if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a brand new creation. He is a brand new creature. He is a brand new creation. Amen. And he said, behold, all things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Two things transpire when you believe in your heart and receive the Lord Jesus. The old man passes away and the new man is raised to walk in victory in Christ. Hallelujah. So we are baptized. Why do we baptize? We baptize because it is the example the Lord left us. We baptize because it is the commandment that he gave us. We baptize because it's the same message that the apostles preached. Amen. And we baptize because it portrays an intimate spiritual moment where our heart surrenders to the Lord and we die to self and we are immersed into Christ and old things pass away and all things become new in him. Praise God. Who do we baptize? Who is a candidate for salvation? Amen. Time is getting away here. Amen. Who is a candidate for salvation? One who hears the gospel and one who believes the message of the gospel. Amen. One who repents of their sin. And one who confesses their faith in Jesus Christ. I have had people, you know, that have given along nearly 30 years of ministry. I have had some that have come to me and said, you know, Pastor Gary, I really want to be baptized. And I believe in the Lord and I've given my heart to the Lord. But, boy, there's some things in my life that I just need to change and I need to fix. And I'm like, let me just tell you something. Let me tell you something. Amen. We just simply believe him and receive him and obey his word and allow him to work the kinks out. Hello? Amen. If you're waiting to be perfect, to be baptized, we'll never put you in the water. Right? I mean, unless all of you folks are like John the Baptist and you got it all together. No, who is a candidate? One who hears, one who believes, one who receives, and one who confesses. That's the only requirement. Believing and receiving the Lord into your life and into your heart and confessing that He is the Lord of your life. That is the only requirement to be baptized. You don't have to get it all together before you go down. Amen. You just simply believe on the Lord, receive the Lord as your Savior, surrender your life to Him, and obey His word. And as you walk with Him, He will work out the things that need to disappear in your life. Amen. So how do we baptize? There are many traditions in many different denominations. There are some denominations that make baptism a part of a baby dedication. And when you are a small baby, they sprinkle you with water and confirm you as the Lord. And really, and I don't have any problem with that at all. Except it wasn't really your decision at all. Right? I mean, you know, they just hauled you in, got you wet, and hauled you back out. And you really didn't decide on anything. And I'm not knocking that. We bring babies into our church and we will hold them and pray over them and dedicate them back to the Lord and bless them and say, Lord, keep your hand upon them and watch over them and cause them to grow up to be a Christian. I don't have any problem with that. But how do we baptize? And again, I go back to the very part of my message where I said, I just want to do it the way the Lord teaches us to do it, right? So let me just tell you, when I baptize you this afternoon, I will put you all the way under the water. I will completely immerse you. I won't hold you down till the bubbles come up, but why do I do that? Because the very word baptism in the Greek is baptismo. And it means to immerse or submerge or to overwhelm and make completely and fully wet. This word is used in the Greek language to speak of a cloth that was being immersed in a dye to change its color. Now, how many of you have seen the old 60s hippie tie-dye shirts? You just dip part of it in, and that's the part that comes out the other color. Hello? Amen. Well, I'm going to put the whole thing in the water. It is also used of a ship that is completely sunk into the water. So when I baptize you this afternoon, I'm going to put you, amen, I'm going to immerse you, I'm going to engulf you into the water, because I believe that water baptism is a complete immersion. Amen. We are saying that we are completely under the blood and completely under the control of Jesus Christ. And we are being raised to live a different life. Hallelujah. Now, I've had several that have asked me, Pastor Gary, is it a bad thing to get rebaptized? What if you were baptized? Is it a bad thing to be rebaptized? Let me just tell you right now, no. You can be rebaptized. As a matter of fact, Scripture speaks to us and tells us that if we have fallen away, if we have turned, if we have given our heart to the Lord and we were baptized and we feel like we have fallen away from the Lord and we have injured God because of our actions or something that maybe we have done, the Scripture teaches us to go back, repent, and do our first works over again. That just simply means that we come back to the place where we repent and ask for God's forgiveness. And it's not a requirement, but if we feel like we want to be baptized a second time, there's no place in Scripture that would cause us not to do that. Maybe you were sprinkled as a child. Does that hinder me from being baptized? No. No. Listen, God is not hung up on a bunch of laws. God is hung up on love and grace. And God simply wants us to come to Him with a believing heart, repent of our sin, amen, and trust in His salvation and obey His word. And if we slip, if we fall, if we fail, if we just feel like we have blown it, then we just come back, pull our boots back on, and just start over again. Can you say amen? Amen. Repent and do the first works again. Do the first things again. Amen. Yes, we should leave the foundations of baptism at some point and grow in our walk with the Lord. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you feel like maybe you were baptized, but if you feel like that you desire to be baptized again, then today is your opportunity. Let me conclude. The lowdown on the go down. Number one, we baptized because it was observed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We baptized, number two, because it was ordered and ordained of Jesus Christ. We baptize and we are baptized as an act of obedience unto Jesus Christ. Number four, it is an open testimony to the world that we have made the Lord our Savior and we identify ourselves with Him. This morning, if you are here and you have never accepted the Lord as your Savior, this is a good opportunity to do that. It's relatively simple. All you have to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that He is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead. And the Scripture declares we shall be saved. You'll find that in Romans chapter 9, verse 9 and verse 10. For with the heart man believes, verse 9 says, with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when we believe in our spirit, Jesus, I know You are Lord, and that You are God's Son, and that You died on Calvary on my behalf. And we believe that in our heart, and we confess that with our mouth. The Bible said we are saved. We are saved. If you're here this morning and you've never invited Christ into your heart, today's a good opportunity. If you're here this morning and you have invited Christ into your life and you have made Him the Lord of your life, but you have never had opportunity to be baptized, today is the perfect opportunity. Don't let today pass you by. Bow your heads all over the building and let's pray together, all right? Our precious Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for Your word, which is absolutely eternal. I thank You this morning, Lord, that You have given us instruction in Your word of the why, of the who, and of the how. Why we are baptized, who should be baptized, how we should be baptized. It is not a mystery. We simply follow the example of our Savior. We obey the message of the apostles, and we follow their example. And this morning, Lord, I praise You for Your word, and I thank You for the ability and the help in delivering this word. I ask, Heavenly Father, that You will speak to our hearts, everyone that's here, maybe someone who has been away from You and not walking in the salvation way, that You will speak to their hearts and let them recognize their need for Jesus and a more intimate relationship with him. I pray, Lord, that if there are those who are here that have received Christ, but they have never really understood the importance of being baptized, that they will make that decision today. That not only do they want to believe and receive Christ as their Lord, but they want to obey his command. And in an act of obedience, they desire to be baptized. Speak, I ask, to our hearts and to our lives. Every head bowed and every eye closed, and I pray in the name of Jesus. Come on back. Are you here this morning while they come? Aaron, come on back to the drums, would you, brother? As they're coming and just begin to play softly behind us. Are you here this morning? Your head is bowed and your eye is closed. Are you here this morning? And you would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, my relationship with the Lord is not what it needs to be. My relationship with Jesus is not on the level that I desire for it to be. God bless you. God sees your hand. God sees that hand over there. God sees that hand there. Amen. Are there any other hands? God bless you and you and you. Amen. I appreciate the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. I appreciate the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. Those of you that lifted your hand and said, my relationship with the Lord is not what it needs to be, just call upon his name privately. Tell him, Lord, I need you to come into my heart in a greater measure, in a greater fashion. Help me to surrender areas of my life that I've held on to. Help me to fully trust and to fully release and fully let go of my whole heart. I don't want to give you just specific areas, but oh God, I want you to come in a complete and mighty way. I want to lay down everything that I might gain your love, your presence in my life, your assurance that you are mine and I am yours. I pray for every single hand, Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you would just be willing to say, I have given my heart to the Lord, but I haven't been baptized. I never saw the necessity of it. I never saw the need for it. I just thought it was a tradition of the old church. But today I realize I need to be baptized. I've given my heart to the Lord, but I need to be baptized. Maybe you're here and you're thinking to yourself, I need to be rebaptized. Let me see your hand. Say, yeah, that's me. That's me. That's me. God sees those hands. God sees those hands. Amen, amen. Father, thank you for touching our hearts. Thank you for touching our lives. Thank you for your message and thank you for your word. As we go our separate ways right here, right now, Lord, I pray that you would keep your hand upon every individual. And we will commence at 3:00 at Plaza Bridge. Lord, when we gather there, we pray that you will gather with us, for we gather in your name. We're not there to fish. We're not there to swim. We're there to fulfill the righteousness of God and the example of our Savior. We're there to testify to the world and creation itself that Jesus is Lord. Meet with us at that time, I pray, oh God. I ask it in the name of the Lord.